Roland and I'm an addict. It's really nice to be. I find this kind of a bit ironic, me using a microphone. It's got such a big mouth anyway. It's a bit sort of unnecessary, but anyway, there's a burden of responsibility that I attach to doing chairs, and I always think that's where, and it's a healthy thing, this, for me, that's where some kind of nerves and butterflies come just prior to doing it, because they do, because actually just primarily because it kind of matters to me, you know. And I've got 15 minutes, which is enough. I'm not asking for more time, but I've got 15 minutes to kind of to achieve one simple goal, really, and that's to kind of carry a message. And if I'm successful, this will happen. I think if I'm successful in 15 minutes' time, you will believe that this has worked for me, and as a byproduct of that, you'll kind of believe that it can work for you, or is actually working for you. And I think that's it. That's the simplicity of this chair, and actually, it's a kind of at the centre of what we do here, right? So, that said, it's important that I try and convey it as accurately as I kind of can. I walked into my first meeting, coincidentally, in the West End, and it was 1986, and it was in Rathbone Place. It was in the probation office in Rathbone Place. And needless to say, I was a lot younger then, but I walked into the meeting, and what I remember, my resounding memory, unsurprisingly, was that I was kind of really frightened. I hadn't scored that day, so I wasn't quite sick, but I was on the verge of getting that way because it was a lunchtime meeting. And I turned up at this meeting not knowing what to expect at all. Nobody had given me any kind of backstory to what NA meetings were, how they worked, what they were supposed to do, what I was supposed to get out of it. I was just told to go there because I had a problem with heroin at the time, and I was told if I went there I'd get some help and things could possibly get better. So I walked in a room not dissimilar to this and sat with a load of people that were kind of just a selection of either using or recovering addicts. And was kind of singularly unimpressed, if I'm honest, because it kind of seemed to have, and this hasn't changed, but it kind of seemed to have no kind of real format. There didn't seem to be anybody particularly in charge. There didn't seem to be any obvious instruction books. And it just wasn't what I expected. I mean, if I was to have been asked what I expected prior to walking in, I'd have thought there would have been some sort of lecturer, maybe some kind of blackboard or an overhead projector, someone pointing, you know, pointing out a few kind of notes, and if you do this, giving out a few secrets, you know, if you kind of follow these simple rules, then it's all going to be all right, and then you can either come back next week or not bother, but this is what you need to know to keep you off drugs. I thought that was going to happen. I didn't really hear that at my first meeting. Right, there was no real obvious solution for me at my first meeting, and I think, to be fair, it's because at that point I wasn't quite ready to stop. I just wasn't at that point where I'd kind of achieved any sort of real rock bottom. I was in trouble, yeah, but I don't think I'd reached that point of critical mass that I personally have experienced that I need to achieve to motivate myself into any sort of action. So I turned up there, I kind of experienced it. I went to a couple, I think, after that, and then went out and carried on using a bit more. Things kind of spiralled very quickly out of control, and inevitably, you know, as a kind of using addict, or not inevitably, actually, I reached the point where I did finally have a rock bottom. And I went away, because for me that kind of worked, you know, sort of geographically removing myself from the using environment I was in. I went away somewhere and found recovery, which basically simply introduced me to meetings. And I kind of began this journey, you know. And I think the initial discovery was that actually there was more to my issue than simply the drugs I was taking. I was quite simplistic in my outlook with regard to my addiction. You know, I kind of thought that actually if I didn't take so much heroin or so much coke or I didn't drink so much or if I didn't take, you know, then kind of things would be better. And I thought fundamentally that was my problem. Like I saw, I kind of soon discovered that there was a little bit more to it than that, actually. And that there were things that I needed to address that were some of them actually predated drugs. You know, there were characteristics that I still carry with me today that are part of what make up what I think of as my illness that I kind of needed to first accept that I had, secondly accept that I was prepared to do something about them, and then thirdly sort of take some kind of action. And that was the beginning. That's kind of how it started for me. That's how I sort of mapped it out. I went to meetings. You know, I still do regular attendance at meetings. It's kind of critical. And I got a sponsor. I have a very sort of standard formula. I work the steps. I have sponsees, and I try to do the right thing. I think, if I'm honest, that 15 minutes just isn't enough time for me to kind of tell you how much I've gained from kind of doing this. I mean, the rewards, some of which are kind of very obvious, and some of which are kind of a little bit more kind of superficial than the others, are kind of are limitless, really. You know, I have a good job, I have a nice home, I have all of these things, I have all those sort of outside things, actually, I'm very fortunate with all of that. But kind of more than that, I've kind of discovered that from time to time, I experience snapshots of kind of internal benefits, you know. Stuff that I hear other people talk a lot more about than maybe I do, which is sort of snapshots of sort of self-acceptance and self-esteem and kind of just feeling like I'm an all right person, actually. Because I tell you one of the other things I remember about the first few meetings I went to, if I was to be able to recognise any type of emotion, there was obviously anger and there was fear, but then somewhere in that there was a third one that I could identify, which was kind of the fact that I didn't like myself very much, you know, that kind of self-hatred. All of that behaviour that I'd been involved with throughout my using, which was all very kind of very standard, you know, I've heard a lot over the years and identified with a lot of it. I wasn't a particularly unique addict, you know, all that stuff from kind of burgling my mother's house and sneaking into my daughter's bedroom while she was asleep at sort of 4 years old and taking money from her money box. All of that stuff, you know, all of that kind of shameful stuff that you do when you're using, along with the more glamorous stories that I'd be more inclined to tell you about if you'd asked me about my using, to be quite honest, all of that stuff kind of needed addressing, you know, because it made me feel shit about being me, actually. One of the biggest gifts I've got, and it kind of sounds a bit kind of naff and a bit cliched, but you know what, it's the most valuable, actually, is that I don't feel like that for the most part about myself nowadays. Not only am I a recovering addict that doesn't use, I'm kind of clean and sober and I have a really nice, productive life, I kind of feel all right about being me most of the time. Who knew? I mean, I didn't think it was kind of possible, actually. My definition of a successful recovery would have been a nice car, a nice job, nice girlfriend, nice house, all of that is how I always defined success. Not necessarily with those particular superficial kind of, you know, sort of shiny badges, like, you know, look at this, I've got all this and look how great my life is. But I never thought that I could have more than that, which was kind of a feeling that I'm all right and a feeling that everything will be all right and feeling like, and this is kind of where the confidence comes in, because I kind of do feel confident now. I don't feel anywhere near as insecure as I used to feel when I was using, and particularly prior to using, you know, because that being one of the main reasons that I took drugs. Drugs kind of masked all those feelings of fear and insecurity. But I feel like I've got a mechanism now, i.e. this, which kind of can enable me to deal with anything that comes my way. And that's not a blind faith. That stems kind of from coming to meetings and seeing people in far more difficult situations than me. Varying kind of amounts of clean time. You know, newcomers, people that have been around a long time, dealing with bereavement and all sorts of stuff. You know, all sorts of stuff that I always thought, God, if that happened to me, I don't know if I could stay clean. I've seen it all. And I've seen people work through it. And through that, it kind of gives me the belief and the faith that there is actually nothing that, if I choose to, I can't deal with just by coming here. It's equipment, I suppose. You know, people talk about it as tools or whatever. I see it as equipment, as a mechanism, as a kind of design for life, and it really works for me. It's been the singular most important thing I've ever done, because what the offshoots from it, first and foremost, I'm clean and sober, right? That's fantastic. But secondly, not only do I benefit, but all the people I care about benefit from me coming here and doing this. That is a big bonus. You know, I do stuff now that, as a spin-off, makes other people's lives better. First and foremost, obviously, it improves mine immensely. But, you know, there are people, that, or the obvious kind of people that one would name, like loved ones and stuff, but people on a day-to-day basis that I come into contact with, some of which I don't even know, they reap the benefits of me coming in. Because I'm a nicer person to be around, I'm a nicer person to come into contact with, and I feel like I'm of some sort of use and worth. You know, I think like most recovering addicts actually, if not all, I consider myself to be a relatively productive member of society. And it's only because it is. Because prior to that, I certainly wasn't. And there was no real kind of vision of me ever being. So it's given me a second chance, actually. That's what it's given me. And it's given me the life that I always wanted, thought I couldn't have, and thought that I needed to use to be able to deal with the fact that I was never going to get it. And it's really nice, actually. It's been really nice to come here. And I love the biggest aspect of this, I love the kind of fellowship thing. I like turning up at meetings I've been to for a long time, bumping into people. There's a couple of people in here that I used with when I was a kid, you know, bumping into all sorts. But no, it's been nice to do it. It's been nice to come and do this, actually. And I hope this has given somebody some sort of message. It's the most worthwhile thing I've ever done. And I finish on this. There is no other way. I've tried everything to stop using and drinking, actually. And this is the only thing that works. If there was another way, total abstinence would not have been top of my list. If there was another way, I wouldn't be doing it. I do this because it is the option. Thanks.
Thank you.